Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Dolphins defensive back Lifford Hobley. Let me remind you about Lifford's background. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana, played his college ball at LSU, where he was a four-year letterman and named All-SEC back in 1983 and 84. He remains in their top 10 for career interceptions with 10. He was a third-round draft pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1985, and he played in the NFL from 85 to 93 for the Rams and the Dolphins. Over the course of his career, he had 5 interceptions, recovered 8 fumbles, and returned 2 of them for touchdowns. And we're excited that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Lifford, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back.
Hey guys. How you doing, Chris? How you doing, Bob?
Doing great. Thank you.
Fantastic. Lifford, how have you been, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. Doing great.
So, Lifford, I want to start our time with you tonight by going back to your time at LSU. And as I was looking back over the schedule and some of the games that that you got to be a part of there, 1982 had to be a crazy season for you and your teammates. You guys started out unranked that year. You come in, you beat number 4 Florida in week 3. You beat number 8 Alabama in week 3, Alabama in week 8. You beat number 7 Florida State in week 10. And then, unfortunately, lose 3 of your last 4 games to unranked teams. It had to be an incredible season of highs and lows. What do you remember about 82?
I tell you what, it was an interesting year. And, one of those years where you actually are playing really good teams. And then, of course, you make it down to the back part of your schedule and you get caught, looking ahead. Past Mississippi State, and for some apparent reason, they had our number every year. And just one of those years where you don't expect to lose a game, but unfortunately, in the SEC, playing against an SEC team, it can happen at any time. As you can see, Florida, LSU, in Gainesville just a couple of weeks ago, unexpected, but hey, it's the SEC.
Lifford, the Orange Bowl at the end of that 82 season, you guys faced off against Nebraska, another crazy game. You guys on defense, you forced 6 turnovers. You did a great job of containing Turner Gill and Mike Rozier, who would go on to win the Heisman Trophy the following season. Unfortunately, it goes Nebraska's way by 1. What do you remember about being a part of that Orange Bowl game?
That was a great, I tell you what, there was a lot of great players in that field that night. Basically, I think there's a couple of things where we actually faltered in specialty and the special team side, basically not taking care of field position when we had the opportunities. And then, of course, defensively, I think we played well enough to win when you hold a team like that to, 20, 21 points. And then, of course, you basically make some foolish mistakes here and there and don't get off the field when you really need to get off and get the offense the ball back. That's the kind of game it was that night. They were doing some of the same things that we were doing. There was a few opportunities on their end, a few opportunities on our end where we didn't capitalize and control the football. And then, like I said, when you're in a position to get out off the field on third in certain situations, you need to get off the field. But it was a well-played game. It was one of those games where, there was guys up front played well. Their guys up front played well, and unfortunately, as one of those, the outcome was based on, not the points, but who actually got an opportunity to keep the ball. I think they had the ball a little bit more than we did.
Lifford, I want to get your thoughts on this year's team. Huge win last Saturday over Georgia. LSU is now 6-1, ranked number 5 in the country. You mentioned Mississippi State. You got Mississippi State coming up. You got Alabama in the next 2 weeks. So give me your thoughts. How do you feel about LSU the rest of the way?
I've watched LSU since the spring. Adding Jill Burrows to the roster, which was kind of interesting, but it's worked out for him. He's managed really well coming in this spring, basically after the spring and getting there to get a lot of things under his belt throughout the summer. and then getting into two-a-days and basically working hard and obtaining he's worked and proved his worth. In addition to that, our offense hasn't actually shown all of the things that they can actually do yet. And of course, our defense has actually manned up and played really well from day one, coming here to Dallas and playing University of Miami and playing lights out football. I think we're still on the edge where we're still working with a lot of young players that are just getting started. And now they actually know each other, this year. There's a few guys that are actually, been there for a year or two, but now that I think these guys actually know how good they are and they can play with anybody. Last week's game was just what I thought. When you bring a team into a situation and you match up really well against them, especially our defense, I thought they played, phenomenal. I think at certain times they actually, kind of laid back and, let Georgia run the football on them a little bit in the middle. And I think those are the things that they're being corrected today, where other teams are going to look at those things and try and do the same thing. As far as the edge, if you're trying to get the ball outside, there's so much speed there, you're just not going to have a chance against LSU running to the edge. But, if you have an athletic quarterback and a couple of really good running back, Mississippi State does. And targeting just to get those players shut down. And I think our secondary is second to none, like always.
Bob, questions for Liffert?
It's great to have you back on the show, Liffert. And I like to talk to any former athlete we have here, any former professional athlete, and take them back to their younger days, Liffert, and see what people in their lives were most responsible for the athlete's professional success. Maybe you want to mention some people that you owe a lot of gratitude to getting you where you were professionally.
Starting young, I mean, even at a grade school level, I had professional athletes in my life that were responsible for keeping me on the straight and narrow. My junior high school coach played at LSU, played a little professional football. Dell Sandifer, my high school coach, played for the San Francisco 49ers, Jerry Burden. So I had people in my life that actually had been there years, way before I have. And to watch others that actually came out of my hometown prior to me actually even thinking about playing professional football or doing anything else other than just being a young man. Growing up in Shreveport, there was always a plethora of former or NFL players that I idolized, from Terry Bradshaw to Larry Anderson to Roland Harper, guys that played way before me, Joe Ferguson. All of those guys grew up in the same area I grew up in, and it was awesome to see. And then of course, to have a machine right down the just about 35 miles north of Shreveport that produced unbelievable talent and a ton of NFL athletes out of the Grambling State program. So there were so many things to watch and so many players to actually idolize. It was just one of those things where you're actually, if you weren't watching that, you were definitely not paying attention.
And Liffert, having spent 6 of your 7 professional seasons in Miami, I wanted to get your overall impressions of Miami as a sports town, a place to live. Talk to us about the entire Miami experience.
I tell you what, the Miami environment, there are so many things to do. The Dolphin fans are the Dolphin fans. I watch games, I've played in games where you walk out and you look in the stands and people are either at the game or they're going to watch it at home. Or they're actually on South Beach, or they're in the Keys. They're doing things. There are so many things to do in Miami. It's just one of those towns. It could be a great sports town, or it could be just the town where people actually live to live. They don't hold on to one sport or another. Now there's baseball there. Then, of course, there's basketball. And then, of course, there's hockey. So, unless there's an opportunity or a great team coming to town, the Dolphins, I don't think, have ever sold out annually consistently for many years. When back in the 70s, when the Dolphins were unbelievably lights out, like a lights out football team, you know, in Orange Bowl, place rocked, to establish the venue in Miami, in that area north of, where the stadium was before. It kind of changed, I believe, the atmosphere of the Miami Dolphins a little bit. And not to take anything from, what's there now, but that Orange Bowl atmosphere was madness. And I think everyone saw that on national TV every time the Dolphins played under Don Shula back through from the 60s to the 70s, where you had a perfect season where the expectations are always high. And then, of course, those expectations are still that of what the history of Don Shula actually performed and did with the players back in his era. And at this point in time, I think there's opportunity for young coaches like that are in place now to take some of those things and actually, move forward. And, you know, I hear a lot of things. I see a lot of things going on in the Miami group as far as the coaches and players. And sometimes I see a lack of respect players. I see that same thing from the coaching staff. So it's something that you have to, you can't actually put together a winning team in the media. And certain things shouldn't be talked about as far as what's going on internally with players, and they should never be put on the spot by a coach or anyone else to say, hey, go ask the player what's going on. That's a responsibility of the organization to keep those things in-house. And I think for as far as Miami, they are doing really well. I think they have a good nucleus of players. They have a good group of elderly statesmen that are actually, basically helping to help these young guys mature a little bit and understand how the game's actually played and what they should expect.
Lifford, I want to go back to your time at LSU for a minute, looking over some of the rosters of the guys that you got to play with. A couple jumped out at me right away, and in Dalton Hilliard and Eric Martin. What do you remember about those guys?
I tell you what, Eric Martin, first of all, came to LSU as a running back. He had so much talent. He could basically do anything, basically. And, Eric Martin probably could have played on both sides of the football. He was one of those athletes that basically took the role and was told, hey, look, would you move to wide receiver? Didn't blink, moved to wide receiver and became one of the best wide receivers, not only in college football, but in the NFL, and just had so much talent and could actually, you know, the guy, you would think he was a 4-4 guy, but he probably ran 4.6 at best. If you ever got him the ball in open field, it seems like he was a 4.3 guy. He was just one of those guys that carried his pads really well, ran great routes, and had the largest hands you've ever seen, and would catch anything, anytime, anywhere, and was physically strong as a 6'3 receiver. And, of course, Dalton Hilliard, he was one of those unbelievable, phenomenal talents that you wanted that guy on your team. And once you saw him in action, you know, basically making people miss and had that low center of gravity like an Earl Campbell with the giant thighs and could run through you or run by you and just was phenomenal. And, both awesome men and, just wonderful friends.
When we posted about tonight's show, a good friend of ours and obviously a good friend of yours, Wendell Davis, made some wonderful comments about you. Talk about your relationship with Wendell.
He's another one that, you know, basically you get guys that, you know, you trust, coaches would trust and say, hey, I got a player for you to take out this weekend. I was one of those guys that actually got to take out Dalton Hilliard on his visit. I got to take out Eric Martin on his visit. And, of course, Wendell Davis growing up in Shreveport, I got to take out Wendell Davis on his visit to LSU. And you could see in those guys that, hey, these guys are definitely coming here. They're going to play here. And just from what I've actually noticed from Wendell, he walked right in and you could tell first day of practice, wow, this kid's going to be awesome. We have a great addition and it just worked really well. We had, you know, basically Jeff Wickersham as a quarterback and he could throw the football. He could put it in the air. So we had a great team. It's just that we were two, I would imagine, just a couple of plays away from actually focusing and winning a national championship with a great group of players, not only with that defense and also off with the unbelievable offensive talent we had.
Bob Moore for Lifford?
Yeah, Lifford, I was wondering, as far as at the NFL level, who are some of the defensive backs, either before you got into the league, while you were in the league, and perhaps even since, that you really thought were shutdown kind of guys, really talented guys, really guys that you loved watching play?
You know, growing up, you're watching guys like Lester Hayes, Mike Haynes, mm-hmm. the Raiders. You watch, you know, basically guys, you know, when they got in the NFL before you, the Jeff Fullers and the Ronnie Lott. And, you know, guys that actually, you know, just shine, just stuck out like a sore thumb when you watch them play because they actually played the game. Gary Fensick, the guys like that, that actually were sharp. Watching the Dolphins play in Lyle Blackwood and Glenn Blackwood. And then you get to meet these guys. Some of them are actually, you go, wow, that guy's kind of small, but he packed a really big punch. So, and then of course you really find out that how talented they are and how smart they are about the game itself. And that's what impressed me once I got to that level. Guys like that, how they could dissect an offense in certain situations, down and distance, where the team lines up on the, where the team's located on the field. Tendencies were unbelievably thought of when we played when we actually worked together. So those things were actually so important. I'm not sure if, you know, today that the players are actually pay attention to that, those little small details. But man, those guys really, really, just like the quarterbacks, work hard. We spent countless hours watching tapes and films, and I'm sure guys before me, I learned those things from those type of players.
And that was my final question, Lifford. I mean, you've been out of the league 25 years. When you came in, besides size-wise, what's the main difference, do you think, between the defensive backs coming into the league now and the ones that came in when you were there?
The guys coming, you know, came in when I was there, things have changed. I think guys have actually pushed back a little bit because of the league rules of what you can and cannot do. You know, we actually executed people back then. We hit you in there, and those things were allowed. I don't think the concussion protocol actually, that kind of changed the game slightly. The style of tackling back when we played in the early 70s, 80s, 90s is a little bit different than what I see today. Guys tackle basically, we hit and wrapped, and it was actually more shoulder to just kind of knock down shoulder type of tackling today. I would like to see a lot more form tackling and guys actually taking care of themselves in that manner. You can actually still have a punishing hit without basically using headgear. I see a lot of headgear collisions today versus there were a lot of headgear collisions back when we played. But for some apparent reason, I know things will never change. That helmet, regardless of how much of an investment you make, I see, you know, there's an opportunity there. The helmet, I think, will not change the game. I think just basically structuring the way guys tackle and how they take care of themselves, that actually should be the focus of how players approach the game every day. And I think those are things you learn at a really, really young age, growing up as a kid, how to take on a running back or a receiver and basically still stop him from making an inch or even gaining an additional yard.
Lifford, before we let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with what you're doing now, whether that's online or it's on social media?
Oh, my goodness. You'll see a lot of coming up next week because I'm actually going to be in an online web chat talking with NFL coming up through a program through the NFL alumni. I'm the chapter president here. I got the first opportunity to launch our platform for NFL alumni this coming up next week. I'll be available to actually let's talk to and chat with fans all over the country about their teams, if they're interested in having a conversation. I could hear Tony and the guys talking about scores and who's going to beat who this weekend. So they'll be able to basically live chat with me in the next week or so on a webcast opportunity that I have available through the NFL alumni corporate. So we're working hard to get all other players involved in that manner as well. I think it's going to be an unbelievable program for people to have the opportunity to basically live chat with former NFL players and have built relationships with them around the country. And I think it's a great opportunity that the NFL alumni corporate has given us, our national, to basically have a platform and a voice to keep the players actively involved in the National Football League in that manner, and also keep the fans hot on what's going on around the NFL and what we're doing as well. And this is going to be, I think, and not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, you'll see it on my Twitter page. You'll see it on the NFL alumni page that I'm a part of, and my own personal NFL alumni page as well. Then, of course, you'll also be able to tap into my LinkedIn and get the link and all of those different social media venues. You can sign up and log in and be a part of my Sunday.
Well, Lifford, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. It's always a lot of fun having you here. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
You got it, guys. Thank you very much. I thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Take care, Lifford. All the
all
best
right.
to you and your family,
all
my
right,
friend.
Guys. You got it. Thank you so much.
That is former LSU and Miami Dolphins defensive back Lifford Hobley. We've got our next guest, Tony Mandrich, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony on the other side of this real quick station break.